All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Hope everybody's doing well out there on a Friday. Got the mixed bag coming on up. Let's get to our headlines, which are brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai miles in inventory at the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals at Doral Hyundai. Day 2 of the Open Championship. Let's hit that scoreboard, Leroy. How are we doing so far in the midst of today?
We have, through 14, Haitaug Lee. He's at minus 8. He was the leader after round 1. Brian Harman is finished at minus 8. He shot 6 under, which is, I think, the low round of the tournament so far. Matthew Fitzpatrick through 8 is at 6 under. Scottie Scheffler is 3 under through 6. He's at 6 under. And Rasmus Højgaard, he's done. He's at 5 under, along with Tyrrell Hatton, McIntyre, Harris, English. They're all at 5 under. Nicholas Højgaard is minus 4 under. That's pretty cool that the brothers. Rory's done. He's at 3 under. So he's still right in it. Keegan Bradley, the captain of the Ryder Cup, he's in it too. He's at 3 under.
DeChambeau shot 6 under today, Hunter saying. DeChambeau had a nice little bounce back.
Yeah, he needed it.
He stunk the other day.
He stunk it up. Let me see. Shoffley is at even par through 6. The Sepp Straka thing threw me off because his real name is Joseph.
What?
Yeah.
Been on Joseph Straka? Why didn't you tell me that?
No, they call him Sepp Straka, but on the leaderboard they put J Straka, and I'm like, who the hell's that?
What kind of name is that?
What?
Why would they? Sepp? Why would they nickname him Step Strep?
Sepp. It's Sepp. Not even Step. It's Sepp.
I don't like this.
Joseph Sepp Straka. All right, so. He is nope. He's farther up. Cause again, I keep looking for the J. I gotta look for the J, not the JJ Spawn. He's at plus 1.
Speaking of JJs, did you see that D Wade was hanging out with that JJ Redick?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Sepp Straka is even par. And minus 1 for today. So all our guys made the cut.
All right. That's good. At least they got opportunities to keep going throughout all of it.
I would say realistically, though, Rory and maybe – if Sepp can get to like 2-3 under, he'll be in the mix. Same thing with Xander Schauffele. There's a lot. We have, they're both at even par, but they've only played 6 and 8 holes. So, like, yeah, there's still a lot of golf left today. But if you pick 4-5 guys and they all make the cut, then you got a chance. Because in most cases with these majors, unless it's a big name guy, so if Scottie Scheffler had the lead at 8 under and we didn't have him, I'd be worried. But Brian Harman, I'm a little worried about. He seems to play these style golf courses really well.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Scottie Scheffler, he's only 2 back. You got to look and see him on the leaderboard, and everybody's kind of like, uh-oh.
The Marlins will return to action tonight. They're taking on the Kansas City Royals. Sandman on the hill for the fish. First pitch is set for 7:10, first of their 3-game set. So the Marlins, who are 7 under, 7.5 back in the wild card. The Marlins have definitely reinvigorated their season as they're going to start this off with the Royals, who are no great shakes. Then they got to take on the Padres. Manny Machado returning to his own stomping ground next week. And then they go out for a little road trip for 6 games against the Brewers and Cardinals. And then starting in August, you got the Bronx Bombers coming into town. Jazz Chisholm, Giancarlo Stanton on August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd will be here. So some interesting matchups for the Fish to start this thing off. But first off, 7:10 tonight is your first pitch. And you got Sandman, then you got Cal Quantrill tomorrow afternoon against Michael Wacha. Still doing it, huh? And then
Wow. That's crazy.
Been around.
Is he 40?
How old is Michael Wacha? He is 34.
Jeez.
Did he pitch when he was a child?
We started pitching when he was 12?
And Jansen Junk is on the hill on Sunday for the Fish.
Because so. Didn't he win a championship with the Cardinals?
I don't remember if he won a championship, but I remember him of the Cardinals. That's where I remember him from, yes. He's been with the Royals the last 2 years, but yes, he won. Did he win a championship with the Cardinals? I feel like when's the last time the Cardinals won the World Series? I think it's been a minute.
He's been on the mound for a minute.
He made his debut in 2013. Let's see. Michael. I know you guys were all waiting for this on a Friday with Michael Wacha's pitching resume.
It's July.
July Sports Talk. He did not win the World Series. He got there right. I don't think the Cardinals have won. I want to say 2012 was the last time the Cardinals won the World Series.
Oh, okay. So almost a year off.
I think he got there right after it happened. He did. I think got to play in a World Series, but I don't think they won.
I just remember every time he pitched going, Wacha, Wacha, Wacha.
Very mature of you.
Really? Coming from you?
What?
You're yelling out the window to game ops.
You can't act like having Sergei Bobrovsky being the spokesperson for Bob's Barricades is not a genius idea. Like, that's gold. I mean, if the Panthers, do they need Bob's Barricades at the arena? I don't know if they do or not, but if they do, that's good. You put Sergei Bobrovsky's face on all your barricades? If Cal Raleigh can sell honey bucket poop porta potties, why can't Sergei Bobrovsky sell barricades?
Why did you throw the poop in there?
I don't know, because I saw him with the picture with the pickup truck, and I just thought, does he have a poop hose back there?
That's what they, I don't know. Dude.
No place you'd like to put your big dumper more than a honey bucket.
Can I just say, I went in one to pee. And when I opened the door, I just went and did it in the bushes like a dog. I just lift my leg up and peed like a dog. Like, I didn't care if people saw me. I didn't care if I got a ticket, but I wasn't going in a porta potty.
I just saw this, by the way, on Twitter, speaking of the Panthers. Alex Baumgartner of Five Reasons Sports has posted, covers the Panthers, a photo of Panthers wine now available at Publix.
Of course.
And I got to tell you, sign me up for a couple of bottles of that.
$54?
It is. That is pricey. Wait. That is pricey.
Is it $54 for three of them?
Wow.
Highly doubtful.
I don't think so. It's a collector's item, though, Brittany.
That's insane. $54 is crazy. You can't even drink it if you want to keep it as a collector's item.
Buy one for the collector's item and one
for
the drink.
So you're going to spend $100 on wine.
For the Panthers, they've earned it.
Oh, my goodness.
$54 is crazy.
I'm not going to tell you what's in my cabinet.
No, I mean, listen. I understand that there's wine that's expensive that deserves to be expensive. I don't know that a Publix Panthers wine needs to be $54.
How much would you pay for the Panthers? Would $34.99 be more of a reasonable price for you?
I feel like that would be more reasonable.
What about $40?
No, I just feel like that's really a steep ask.
How much are you paying for Publix wine? Because I feel like
I'm not buying Publix wine. Like, unless it's like
you've never bought Publix wine.
Wait, but here's the deal. Publix does sell some of the wines that are popular at all the wine.
That's fair, but
too.
I need to know. I need to, like, there's an app. Isn't there an app about wine that tells you the rating of wine?
Yeah.
I need to know the rating of this Panthers wine before I can.
You know what it is? You know what the rating of the wine is, Brittany?
What is it?
It's back to back.
That's right.
No.
That's right.
No,
that's
not
right.
Fair. That's not a. That's
You're
not.
You're telling
good
me. Hold on, Brittany.
It's not good
I didn't
enough.
Know you were a sommelier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And second of all, that $54 is so worth it.
I don't
so wait, worth it to pour it in
you
your
spend somebody just said it perfectly. But she has no problem spending $54 on some stuffed animals.
First off, I didn't buy the stuffed animal for myself. And it wasn't $54. All right? Thank you very much.
What if there was a jelly cat that was the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, what
would
if
that
jelly
be worth
$54?
I feel like that would be worth $54.
That would be worth $4.
If Jelly Cat came out with a wine.
I have standards here.
Has anybody bought like a collector's, like a Wheaties? I know Leroy is this ridiculous question for him, but have you ever like seen somebody buy like the Wheaties box, the champion Wheaties box from when your team won the World Series or something like that?
I don't have that, but my family has a Wheaties box, it's like a throwback UM Wheaties box that we bought in South Carolina because it was like crazy to us that it was in South Carolina
that
for
is
some
crazy.
Reason.
Why
yeah,
was it
so
in South
we
Carolina?
Had it and like it's literally. We used to put it on like the TV console when the games were happening.
Like a shrine.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. That's as close as I can say, but I don't know. $54 is steep for a Panthers wine. That better be really good wine, with all due respect.
I have a Baltimore Ravens 25-year bottle of wine.
Do you?
How much was that one?
I don't know. They sent it to me.
The Ravens sent him a lot of swag for a guy who was barely a Raven.
Interesting. Yeah. That's you know what? That's nice.
The Ravens
but keep in mind it's the organization. So
well, kind of. I mean, like they went. I mean, like they went back. Like they went back. But that Ravens team, they give you like the nicest equipment. You had that cool ass sweater.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, they don't.
Or the hoodie. That was good.
The hoodie.
Yeah. Speaking of going back, we'll get into Damian Lillard returning to the Trailblazers. Got to take a break. Back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQM. Hey, you guys want to go to Counting Crows? Heard that ad during the break. I got one more pair of tickets to give away to the Complete Suites Tour at Hard Rock Live on July 22nd. And if you guys want a pair of tickets right now, caller number... I'll go caller 5. Caller 5 to 305-567-0560. We'll win a pair of tickets to see the Counting Crows on July 22nd. And that'll be our last pair of the week. Thanks to everybody who participated. But if you guys are last pair right now, caller 5 to 305-567-0560 gets a pair of tickets to see the Counting Crows at Hard Rock Live on July 22nd. Yesterday, after I was able to power my way through another Heat Summer League game, we get the news.
You didn't power your way
through. I powered my way through it. I did power.
You made it sound like you're taking your morning vitamins when you were a kid.
It felt like I was taking my morning vitamins watching Miami Heat Summer League with
and not we're not talking about the Flintstones vitamins either that you just chew up.
No. The ones that the one that tastes like dirt. Terrible.
Yeah, that one that your mom tried to mix into all the other nice ones.
Yeah. The news comes out that Damian Lillard is returning to the Portland Trail Blazers on a 3-year deal, $42 million, has a player option in that last year, and now finally has a no-trade clause. Now he has a no-trade clause. Anyway, he returns to Portland. He's obviously not going to play this year. Well, most people think he's not going to play this year. He's coming out. He has a torn Achilles, and he's going back home. He's going to stay in Portland. And reportedly, the Heat wasn't interested. There was one report that said they weren't interested in bringing Damian Lillard back. I certainly don't think the Heat, to the tune of $14 million extra dollars a year, were going to pay Damian Lillard. I just don't think they were going to do that. But I'm just speculating.
They're
I don't know.
In no position. This organization and this team is in no damn position to pay a guy that's not going to play next year.
Yeah. And I think that for the Blazers, it's like, you know, the Blazers kind of turned things around last year in the second half, but they're not like a good team. And, you know, this is a cool thing for him, and it's a cool thing for their fans. I saw Heat fans get upset about this because it's like, how could you go back to Joe Cronin? Dude, how could LeBron James go back to Dan Gilbert? I don't know. Like, they barely probably have to interact with these people. He's going to go back to his adoring fans. And the number one thing is he wanted to be with his kids. He's not playing this year. He's out for the entire season. He didn't want to be halfway across or completely across the country, certainly in Miami, away from his children. That was part of the reason why the Bucks apparently got frosty on him, is that he didn't want to rehab in Milwaukee. He wanted to rehab in Portland. And so now he gets to do that. It was an unfortunate breakup that they had. But, like, I don't even come close to comparing this to him not landing with the Miami Heat. That was me wanting to jump out a window. Like, I mean, Damian Lillard pairing up with Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler off a finals run, that's a perfect fit. I think even with this team, pairing him up with Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero, and you already have, you just drafted a point guard, you just paid Davion Mitchell, and this is, mind you, he's not going to play all year? I don't understand why the Heat fan was upset about this. This was very strange to me yesterday.
Upset that they didn't
get him? Yeah, that they swung him in, they didn't get him again.
Dude, contrary to popular belief, 100 plus million for a guy that's going to sit on the bench and coach with Spo for a year. It's not ideal when you only had 37 wins last year.
Especially, yeah, if he didn't really want to be down here, you know, like that's the other thing is like if he wanted to be by his family. And so like, are you going to be in touch with him? It's just like, hey, 14 million for the year. We'll see you next year. I feel like truly the Heat fans are just pissed about everything right now. And rightfully so. I get it. The Heat are in a spot right now where the fans have justifiable angst towards the organization. But I also feel like if it came out that the Heat gave Damian Lillard 42 million extra guaranteed, I feel like that gets hosed down by the fan base too. No? I mean, Brady, would you have been more upset by the Heat? Are you more upset by the Heat not getting Damian Lillard again? Or if they would have given Damian Lillard on a torn Achilles at 35 years old, $42 extra million guaranteed?
I would have been more upset if they signed him, for sure. 1,000%.
Well, because, if they were willing to sign Damian Lillard to have him sit for a year, I would have took my chances with Jimmy.
Well, no, I mean,
but that's, I'm just saying,
that's like moot point because Jimmy is already gone. But I feel like what it shows me is that like you don't have a winning right now mentality, which I understand that we've already been shown that they don't have that, considering that they're not making these massive moves. But you're going to bring a player who's aging and who's going to be sitting out for a year, who's injured, who's going to be coming off an Achilles injury, for $40 million to sit on our bench for you. I just don't think that would have made me more upset. Like, the news that him go to Portland, let him, you know, reconcile with them and you know, end his career there is what I'm assuming he's probably going to do.
If they would have did that, I don't want to hear about no damn aprons.
No aprons. You don't.
That is, I'm signing him and I don't care about the apron.
Exactly.
And the other thing is, like, yeah, it's one of these things where it's like, oh, yeah, if Damian Lillard would have come here on, like, the mini or $5 million a year.
Oh, I'll
cool.
take that.
Yeah, for sure. But that's, like, $15 million, $14 million a year for a guy at that age off the worst injury in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even know how that's going to fit with Tyler Hero? Like, I don't know, yeah. Guys. Like, look, again, I love Damian Lillard. I'm happy for Damian Lillard, ultimately, because I think this is a cool story. I remember what it was like. We were on the air live when the news came that Dwayne Wade was traded back to Miami, and it was a very healing thing. I think Damian Lillard rightfully was like, hey, you guys are going in this tank direction. I'm going to be 33. Can I go and have this opportunity to go play where I want to play? Joe Cronin's still a rat bastard. Make no mistake. Yeah. He could still kick the sharpest of rocks. But I understand like Damian Lillard being like, well, I'm going to fleece this organization for a lot more guaranteed money. They now can't trade me. I can be home and have peace. And if by some reason he does want to move on, now he gets to dictate where he wants to go, finally. But, I mean, he'll probably be 36 at that point.
And maybe it's an entire, like, conspiracy of to eventually get what he wants.
Yeah, maybe. It could be.
And good for him. And good for him with what they did to him. I think that's good for him, like I said.
I just think I thought it was just a strange thing to be upset with the Heat about this. Like, I think that the Heat fan would have been like more enraged if they would have given him that kind of money. And I think for people criticizing Lillard, like, you know, if he would have gone to the Celtics, okay, that I think would have legitimately, like, that would have perturbed me. I would be like, I don't like that. But to go back home to be with your kids. And you took him to the woodshed for $40 more million. Yeah, I mean, like that's a pretty great deal that he got. That's a pretty great deal and a pretty great setup that he's got.
And it's almost like they paid him to apologize.
Yeah.
It's definitely an I'm sorry contract.
I mean, and also it benefited them in the end because they still got their star back and they got him for four players and picks. Like, you know what I mean? It's still like they won in the end.
That's a weird dynamic right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the weirdest part of that. They got the guy they traded for four for picks back. And they still get to keep all the picks and
exactly.
stuff they got for them.
So it's like they ended up coming out on top in the situation, and the Bucks are the ones that are, you know, did it. Because
the Bucks, once you do that, I mean, like, it might as well be a fire sale.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. You know, like, maybe that's what Shark was talking about, huh?
Maybe.
Maybe that's what Shark was talking about, huh? Maybe. You know, maybe. But I'm happy for Dame. When the Dwayne Wade news happened, it was a really great feeling for the fan base. It didn't look right to see Dwayne in other uniforms. It happened, and his breakup happened for the wrong reasons. It happened for feelings, for money. He should have been taken care of.
Yep.
There was some justifiable annoyance with him choosing to go to Cleveland after his Chicago buyout, because I think he knew that, like, He knew that his fan base wasn't going to like that. But I also think that Dwayne looked at Miami in that scenario and was like, they got Josh Richardson, they got Goron, they got Deion Waiters, they're coming off this weird season. Do I want to go there? Do I want to just stick my foot in there? Is that going to make a lot of sense? And, you know, that team inevitably wasn't very good. And, you know, I had Philly cheese fat cat syndrome. And you had Jay Rich stepping out of bounds left and right. And so it came at the perfect time because they needed Dwayne Wade to be, you know, a guy to take over the reins. But, you know, it just felt right that he was back with the Heat. It felt like Yes. It felt like a guy getting his superpowers back. Mm-hmm. He didn't look happy in Cleveland. And so I think for Dame, you spend these 2 years, it's like, and the thing is, the evil genius of Joe Cronin here was like when he traded him to the Bucks. You know, it's not where he wanted to be, but you couldn't really bitch about it because it's like, oh, I'm pairing him with Giannis. It's not like I didn't do right by him, which, you know, Joe Cronin, again, you could still kick the sharpest of rocks. But, you know, now that – but it's like it didn't work out. It flamed out terribly, and especially with the idea that that dude came back from a blood clot last year to go play in the playoffs, and his reward for that was, well, we'll see you. We got to sign Miles Turner.
Yeah.
You know, so – good for him to get some level of happiness back because the fans are going to love him. Everybody on that in that locker room is going to love him. And, you know, he's not going to play all year. It's so he has this whole year of, like, being comfortable. Instead, it's like you're not in this ramp-up process with some new organization. But I had, like, zero bad feelings about this from a Heat fan's perspective.
I was happy when the news broke. I was kind of, oh, I felt good for him. I was like, oh.
I like Damian Lillard.
I really do like Damian Lillard.
I think we all feel the same way about Dame. Like, yeah, we wanted him. We don't want him now. But there's no love. You know, we don't feel any less of Damian Lillard because he's not with the Heat. And in fact, I felt terrible when he tore his Achilles.
Terrible.
Right? Yeah. I felt bad because he's a good dude. He ain't caused no problems. In fact, when he wanted to be traded, he tried to handle it like a pro and, you know, tell the team what he wanted, thinking they would do the right thing. And they kind of didn't.
No, they didn't. And the thing that sucks is you bring him here. And then from the other perspective is like, it kind of represents the end of the Jimmy Butler era when that trade didn't go through. Like, once you didn't get him and you're like in this spot of like, oh, well, we're going to bring Tyler back. He kind of knew we were trying to trade him. He brought all these guys who were in the trade talks and you had this awkward situation. And then Jimmy decides to basically like say, you know, he's like yelling at the Bucks for tampering. And then like he coasts through the season and he's, you know, it just represented all of the stuff where it was like, oh, this championship window, whatever it was, that signified the end of it. And Boston got better because Boston got Jrue Holiday. So if you were going to bring him back in this scenario where he was going to be, you know, rehabbing, and then you hope like hell it fits with your two guys now. I don't know. I think that's a dicey proposition, especially at his age. So hopefully this brings him a lot of peace. Hopefully this brings him happiness. And I just think for the Heat, it was time to move on from this. I didn't really have any ill will towards Damian Lillard about this at all.
No.
There's been certain moves in sports where you just kind of look at the situation and go, good for him.
Right.
It has nothing to do with your team, but it has to do with how much love you have for that player. And so I think for the most part, if you go around the league, everybody loves Dame Lillard, right? So good for him.
We'll take a break. Mix things up on the other side. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on a Friday. Oh, hello, Jennifer.
Hello.
All right. You're gathering yourself.
Sorry, I was on a different tab. How you doing?
Very good. Very good. It's Friday. Who can be upset on a Friday? We're heading into this weekend. And I gotta catch up on After the Villa tonight. I didn't think I was gonna be into it, but I watched the first episode. I was like,
I was like, I just thought you said that you were going to cancel Peacock until next year.
You know what happened? Brittany, I'll tell you exactly what happened. Kaler.
Yeah.
Kaler. She just
Kaler's going to make up for the whole thing.
She's just so good. She's such good television. People think that Hoda couldn't hold Kaler's jock.
I agree.
She really couldn't.
She was an early exit, though?
No, she was one of the last ones in the season that really changed the game last year. I'll tell you one thing, though. I discovered that Liv's boo in like 2 seconds. I was very proud. I got to show off my wife's boots on the gram skills because she's like, oh, she's dating an athlete. Wouldn't say who it was. And I was like, I'll figure it out. And so I went on Instagram. I follow Liv. And then I'm like, all right, I'm scrolling. She's like, because she only follows like 500 people. I'm like, I can figure this out. And it's like,
500?
Nope. Yeah.
I follow like 30 people.
You don't know how to use social media. She's a sociolite. Please don't compare yourself to a 24-year-old social media person from Australia.
It revolves around social media. Do not compare.
Right. So I'm like scrolling. I'm like, Iron Man. Who the hell is that? She can't be bragging about that. Surfer. Pff, get out of here. And I was like, oh? I was like, really? And who do I stumble upon on her follows? But Lakers sharpshooter Dalton Connect. I was like, all right. So I follow him, and then I go to her posts. Who do you know? Who's liking all the pics? Dalton Connect. I go to her stuff. Who's liking all his stuff? Old Liv, the Australian. I'm like, boom, solved it. Nice secret, Liv.
But what really got me was that wasn't she dating Obi Toppin's brother, Jacob Toppin?
Was she?
Yeah, I could have sworn. I mean, maybe I'm a fake newsie right now. I don't think I am. But I vividly remember her being in New York, like, post the season and being with him making TikToks and everything.
Maybe. I don't know. But she's dating Dalton Connect now, 100%.
She's a jersey chaser, but, I mean, good for her.
She's 100% dating Dalton
Connect. Whoa, there's a name for it.
She even mentioned on the show she likes athletic people.
Oh, she does.
Athletic people.
Well,
okay.
Anyway, okay. She's 100%. She's her new squeeze is Dalton Connect, even though she doesn't want to say it. My wife was very impressed by my detective skills. I solved that in like 5 minutes. Maybe she spoils it later on in the season, but
it's pretty impressive.
I just spoiled it now. Anyway,
great to see her and Kendall constantly. You know,
I can't stand Kendall. He's legitimately one of my least favorite people in the history of reality TV. Let us get to the mix bag. Leroy, are you familiar with Jim Harbaugh?
Yep. That's my quarterback.
That's your quarterback. Leroy Horde once played with Jim Harbaugh at the University of Michigan. Jim Harbaugh then brought Leroy Horde a national championship as the head coach, finally, after much controversy.
You know they had a national championship before that, right?
Who?
In 97.
I mean, all right, I'm not sitting here bragging about what the Marlins did 30 years ago.
I mean,
Jim Harbaugh, he talked about meeting the Pope. Here's what Jim Harbaugh had to say about meeting his goodness, holiness.
So. Picture in my office, my wife Sarah and I met Pope Francis, at the Vatican. They've gave him a Michigan football helmet and size 8.5 pair of Jordans. I can't confirm if he ever wore them, but it was you could just see the holiness, in his eyes. I mean, the Holy Spirit was just flowing through him, and I thought I was speechless. I was.
What? Leroy, how do you feel about this?
You know how I feel about Jim Harbaugh, right?
You love him.
An intense guy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I've always been a fan. I think he knows how to coach football and how to play football. But he has a tendency, how can I put this? He has a tendency to take something, and it's not just with the Pope, with a lot of things, and then make it sound like it was the greatest thing in the world.
Oh, so he's an overseller.
Now, I would say that I've met 4 presidents.
Yep.
And I was excited about meeting all of them, regardless of what their political leanings were. You meet the president, it's one of those things.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You get to meet a president. I would assume that meeting a pope is even more rare. Like, it's something special. And so I'm guessing that he couldn't quite find the words to explain the magnitude of meeting the Pope.
Well, they did a...
So he Jim Harbaugh'd the situation.
Did they practice over in Rome, or did they just visit Rome?
They did 1 year, yes. But he Jim Harbaugh'd the thing. And when I say that, I mean, we gave him a Michigan helmet. We gave him some Jordans.
Tiny feet, by the way.
Right.
I know. I mean, was like, why did you have to specify first of all, what she says?
To a guy, when do you think Pope's going to come out in a sweatsuit kicking the Jordans? Right? Let's go there.
Is the Pope ever allowed to wear pajamas?
Have you ever seen, at night? Right? He probably got holy pajamas.
According to this, Pope Francis was...
But here's the part. That in all the excitement and everything, when you say, I could see the Holy Ghost in his eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, listen. It's almost like little birds should have started flying across our screen and one of those little glow things should have surrounded us. Like... Yes.
You want birds flying on the screen? I got you.
No birds are flying around you.
That's true.
And so, he had me all the way up until then. Because I was feeling his excitement. I was thinking how rare it was. And then he said the thing.
Yep. Pope Francis listed at 5'6".
That's how tall I am.
So that's why he wears size 8.5.
Tiny Pope. Jim Harbaugh wasn't done.
No, there's...
There's more.
Jim Harbaugh was discussing foul balls. Loves baseball.
About 22 foul balls in games. I didn't keep them. I haven't kept them all. No, sometimes I gave them to one of my kids or a kid in the stands. I always bring my glove to the game. That's the key. You gotta bring your glove. 13 of those foul balls came when I was a youngster. Going to Tigers games. My dad and Gates Brown grew up together in Crestline, Ohio. They played football, basketball, baseball together. Sometimes we would get tickets from Gates to go to the game in at Tiger Stadium. And there might have been like 1,000 people, you know, at those games back then. I mean, it's not like it is today. I mean, so we could, me and my brother, we could go to the upper deck and there'd be just me, you know, and I'd have the section here and a section there. So anything that came up there, I was getting it.
Man, 22 foul balls.
Can I just... We were just talking about the Holy Ghost. And the next comments are about...
Foul balls.
Foul
balls. I don't, in fairness, I don't know what came first in the press conference. I just...
I got you.
I don't know what order things went in. But he was touching them all. He's very excited to be back. Very excited to be back.
Man, sometimes the people who you admire and the people that you have a past with say some stuff.
Yep.
It becomes more and more difficult for you to toe that line.
22 like, foul balls, though, is a lot of foul balls.
Not an empty stadium.
Yeah, I guess that does dial right, it a little like, bit. Although I went
like
to
you keep in mind if you go to 10 matinees during the week, right, for the Marlins, you probably hold them down too.
I had season tickets. I've only caught in 2 foul balls in my entire life.
Where were you seated?
By the bullpen. I actually caught one off the rubber track. It bounced and then on a line drive, I caught it. And then I got one. I didn't catch it on the fly. It was next to me. So I picked it up. And then I've been thrown a baseball. When I was a kid, Kevin Millar threw me a baseball. But like when he was done with his outfield warm-up. That's it.
I have some baseballs.
Did you ever catch a foul ball?
No, I had baseball like that.
What?
I didn't have baseball like that growing up.
I just meant like... Baseball. I never gone to a
no,
game.
No, because where I when I went to
what about the
Indians
games?
I was sitting with the families.
So you had good seats.
Because like, I was like way up, but right behind home plate.
Oh yeah, so you're behind the net. Mike Tannenbaum, former Dolphins, was he general manager, president of football operations,
ruiner?
Mike Tannenbaum. He had some thoughts on the Steelers loading up with Jalen Ramsey, signing T.J. Watt. This is his thoughts on the Steelers' defense this season.
Building a team, one of the indices you're looking at is how many players do we have over 30? And going into the season, they have 4, Darius Slay, Jalen Ramsey, Cam Hayward, and the aforementioned T.J. Watt. My question is, if the three of us were running the Steelers – and we asked ourselves in an honest and sober way, is it reasonable for those 4 players on the left to all play in 17 games? Age, data, and stats would tell us that's a 50-50 proposition at best. That would be my concern about this Steeler defense. When you look at both the Bengals, certainly, and the Ravens and what they could do offensively, this defense has to play up to that level, if not better, to where they've been in the past for them to win the division. And that's my concern is because of the age. Can they do it for 17 games against 2 teams we know can score with quarterbacks that are in their prime?
All right. Any concern about the Steelers being super old on defense, Leroy? You don't want to hear from him?
Can I just say something?
What?
You're talking about 3 players over 30 on the defense, and you got a 42-year-old quarterback.
Very old team.
Right, like, but I'm just saying, you can get away with 3 players over 30 on defense. How about a 42-year-old quarterback?
Oof.
If it doesn't work out, it ain't going to be because those guys miss games. It's going to be because Aaron Rodgers looks 42. So why are we talking about the defense? Oh, man. Like, sometimes I wonder, right? How long do you think I would last on one of those shows? 12 seconds.
I think you would be great. I think they would love that.
So, but come on. Really? Like, when you think of the Steelers, and I'm going to tell you from firsthand experience, I don't care who was playing defense. They played defense a certain way. And that was, that took precedence over any age or anything like that. They all played a certain way. When you go on the other side of the ball, they like to run the football, play action. They've never been really a gunslinging team. Okay? You got rid of your running back, and you have a quarterback that is old, like almost 10 years older than some of the guys you're talking about.
Very old.
So why are we talking about them guys? If I'm one of them, I'm like, the quarterback's 10 years older than
me. I imagine they were talking about it because T.J. Watt re-signed. That's probably the jumping off point about it. But I got to tell you. But
30 for a DB is not bad because all they're doing is running.
The only thing that scares me with that is, you know, those Watt genes.
That's the other thing.
That's the other That's thing. The only thing. You know, once
that,
those.
You know, if your last name is Watt, you about one burpee away from pulling a tearing a chest muscle or something.
Yep. J.J. Watt said he said on his Twitter account when the news came down that T.J. better never ever let me reach for my wallet ever again, because there was a graphic that said this contract basically out earns J.J. Watt's entire NFL earnings. Got out too early, J.J.
No, what? Look, he didn't get out too early. I mean, I think he played 2 years too long because he was banged up. Last, what, 4 years?
Yeah. And he wasn't he a Cardinal? That was strange. Finally, yeah. Speaking of pass rushers, Adam Schefter, he gave the latest on NFL Live on Trey Hendrickson's contract situation with the Bengals.
Our opening training camp within the week. And because of that, you'd have to think that there will be discussions that commence between Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals to try again to get a deal done. Let's keep in mind, they've been trying to do this for the better part of two off seasons, haven't been able to get a deal done. They've seen all these other deals get done in the interim with the price only rising. And Trey Hendrickson means just about as much to the Bengals as T.J. Watt does to the Steelers, and his production clearly has been there. Now it's up to both sides to try to work it out, while the Bengals also try to see if they could find a way to sign the only first-round draft pick who doesn't yet have a deal from this draft class, Shamar Stewart. He and the Bengals have been at odds over language in the contract, what would be guaranteed, what wouldn't be guaranteed with default language. They have not bridged their differences, and so the Bengals right now have no Trey Hendrickson, no Shamar Stewart.
That sounds like business as usual for the Bengals.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Are you shocked? Is anybody shocked that the Bengals are struggling to sign guys? But here's the deal. That if I'm the Bengals, I'm going to say, our defense was terrible with you. And you want us to pay top dollar? What are we paying for? Are you a difference maker? Our defense sucked. So I'm always going to hang that over his head. Right?
I get it. Like 17 and a half sacks the last 2 years.
Okay, and how bad was their defense?
I mean, but it's not his fault.
Oh, but it doesn't.
What if you got a bunch of bums around you?
Wait. It's like a quarterback who throws for 5,000 yards, but you only have 6 wins.
I don't think that's fair for him.
Do you think you go out and pay that quarterback max dollars? Because no, the first thing you're going to say is he don't win no games.
He's
a looter in a riot.
I would hope that. Yeah, but is he a looter in a riot? Like, can you loot 17 sacks?
You can't loot 17 sacks. But those 17 sacks made how much of a difference?
Not enough.
Not any.
We'll take a break. Get you caught up with your headlines. What's going on over the Open Championship? Some updates, too, on some second-round picks who have signed. No Jonas Savainaya yet for the Miami Dolphins. How close are they to that? We're back after this.